древнем Вавилоне, когда возникла
Атика, кшенацар пирут бен бне адам, кшеитуар рацон, להתפרד, להתפלג. האגו גדל, וזו הפכה להיות הסיבה שבגללה אנשים החלו להתרחק זה מזה, הפסיקו להבין זה את זה, כפי הנאמר.
That people became more distanced from each other. And so, that's when this science was born, when it was revealed. By one of the priests of this ancient region, ancient Babylon, Abraham, that revealed the dependence and interaction of egoism, that egoism is not for naught, and in fact, it has a purpose, and it later caused the separation and the spreading out of all people all over the world. And then this wisdom of Kabbalah was revealed, which talks about, in general, that against egoism, people have to unite. It's not simple. In fact, it's quite difficult and beyond the power, the human ability. But we have to understand that this is a challenge given to us by nature, and in this way we have to act. If we will unite and keep that unity that we had before this eruption of egoism, as Abraham predicted, then we will ascend above this egoism all the time. The degree to which it grows, we will keep our unity and continue to ascend. That's why it was written that everyone was as one family. Everybody was together with each other. They lived very not easily. They all ate basically the same thing, even if somebody was richer or more successful. It didn't really reflect on their living and their lifestyle. There was a lot of fish there. There was a lot of fish because it was there in the Fertile Crescent between the rivers. Bread, onion, garlic, and that's about it. That's what they had. And some dairy products. And that's what everybody had. So, in general, there wasn't a particular worry about how to be fed. The earth was very fertile. Everything was good. Everybody lived approximately similarly to each other until this eruption of egoism. And as a result, that which Abraham discovered, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it was also based on people living almost identically, satisfying their basic human needs in the form that the body demands, a normal, rational way. And everything else, all other forces, must be applied toward ascending above your egoism. And this is what he talked about. So this egoism, which is now beginning to erupt in us, one person, it pulled to some business, another one to something else, a third one to something else. Each one wanted to be greater and stronger than others, more important. On the contrary, we need to stay on the same level, or all of us ascend together. It's very possible to improve all our lives, but for all of us to be together as one family, as in one family, everybody thinks of each one equally, so that each gets according to their needs, but all our forces are in general applied toward the ascension above egoism. So this relation, this attitude toward our development, it is the basis of Kabbalah. And insofar as Abraham was not heeded, they went along the egoistic form of development, except for that group of people that he gathered for himself. So each, and according to his ability, will ascend all the other forces they will spend on connection with others. Then in the connection between them, the attitude between them, this upper force of nature will manifest. You can call it the Creator. It doesn't matter how you call it. And then they will feel and sense the next level of development, of existence. Not the inanimate vegetative animal as we feel today, that we're always concerned about the needs of the body, its rest and comfort, fulfillment. But the next level is called a person, Adam. The word Adam comes from like, a likeness to the Creator. And this is somebody that manages nature, compels it, moves it forward by himself. So this is something that was hidden and then revealed and then once again hidden for a few thousand years, and now it's beginning to be revealed again. The last Kabbalists of the modern era were Bala Sulam and Rabash, and you and us. So after they revealed it to us, we are beginning to realize it. And its realization is already not from that level as it was in ancient Babylon, as we were one family on one level. Everything was perhaps simple, but apparently that's not how it was supposed to go. And humanity needed to develop this egoism very well, to the realization that it's actually killing us. And instead of all these blessings that it gave to us, we realized and found ourselves lost, cursed, not having achieved anything as a result, trying to somehow improve our existence, and we spend all of these years, these abilities that we have, in this state which we call our life. So we start from a completely different level today. This level is egoistic, final, which is very interesting, earthly final. So egoism grows much bigger. But the next level of egoism already starts growing when a person begins to occupy himself with unity. So the earthly level of egoism is what we've attained now, and that's why we find ourselves in our current state, in our negative state. We call it the crisis. We still don't think that the crisis is all-encompassing. We don't relate it and unify it yet, all these different individual crises into one. Oh, the crisis of family, culture, societal crises, and especially that crisis that threatens our existence, the financial and economic one, and the ecological crisis as well. So all these crises are one and the same. A crisis, translation, it actually means birth. That's the translation. And in ancient Hebrew or Aramaic, it also is called. It's called the foundation upon which a woman gives birth. They had these structures on which a woman would sort of sit, and with the help of her these women that would help her give birth, this place was called a crisis. And in ancient Greek, it's also like this. And on the Chinese also, it's translated as the birth of something new. So that's how we have to look at it. And not to look at it in the same way that people that want more and more from this world. People that are still acting as irrational egoists. That they think that now we have to fix something and everything will be fine. Recently, there are less and less people like this. And we see that it's happening very quickly. At least for the last 5 years. However long it's been going. It's already becoming clear to them that it's not just sort of that it has to sort of go away. Now they're talking about the fact that right now to fix this, it'll take 20 years, as if you can fix it. But according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the science of Kabbalah, the crisis will continue and will come to such states in which today things that seem to us completely unlikely, that people will become just animals when a normal sort of... They'll lose their humanity. They'll acquire such norms and standards that during the 20th century became sort of seemed below a human level, below humanity. So all of these societal norms and cultures will be suffocated by our egoism and will lower and lower and lower eventually, gradually. The crisis will not pass. It will force us to eventually. Along the way, there can be wars and problems. We see how common these things are happening. We don't understand how all these regions begin to erupt, and countries, and all these weird things start happening. Nobody seems to understand the main reasons, the true reasons. It's like the reasons were always there, but they were kind of buried. So they weren't very obvious or sharp to call out these problems, like in Syria and Lebanon and Turkey now as well, and so on. That's if we're talking about social problems, socio-political. But these economic problems are very, very deep, because egoism is first manifested in the economy, because it's a reflection of the relation between us. Who, how much? Who owes who, how much? And so, for this reason, the economy is the first thing that shows us how out of control the system is and how little we understand the laws that are controlling us now, under which we exist today. Because the world is entering a new step. It has to become, on the scale of its development, it passed the egoistic form of development, reached a certain plateau, and now we're discovering Kabbalah, as Baha'u'llah Sallam intended in the beginning of the 20th century. People would have to realize that now we have to start uniting more and more. In general, those hints that were in Russia during the communist revolution, this is all movement inside of a person for a social order. But as a result, none of this worked. Baha'u'llah Sallam, as you know, depended very much that in Russia and Poland and all these places, revolutions would happen differently. Not just, you know, the capture of power and the establishment of another egoistic party. But here we see, 100 years after all these movements in the world, the First World War, that was in general the sort of, you know, the trigger, the jump toward the point where the world should have started changing. And that's why it said that in the science of Kabbalah, that if people will be unable to realize that development must be in unity above this egoism which today exists above us, the motion towards unity, then the world will continue to be just unclear and ununderstandable. That nature that manifested inside of all of us and all of us together over the thousands of years, this nature is constantly, it's egoistically elevating us, and we're trying to change society, change the connection between us, going from different formats of government. But when egoism came to the limit of its development and started to become round, why? Because nature elevated this egoism inside of us and then became round. In accordance to that, we also have to become round. In other words, united as a single whole, but we're not doing this. So here there appears not only a disorder, but a fundamental difference, dissonance between our inner structure, everything that is inside of us, politically, economically, with that. It's a dissonance between that and the thing that nature is showing us. It's not that it's more and more egoistic, but it's more connected. and all these altruistic connections begin to manifest, but we're completely opposite to it. So a conflict arises of two systems, one upon the other. The internal system of nature, which is manifesting itself as more altruistic, as a more altruistic system, an integral system, an analog system, but we ourselves are an egoistic connection of systems, which has worked for thousands of years. And so nature has evoked this in us, but it changed, and it will continue to change more and more. So it's like the creator of this integrated system, just manifesting more and more inside of our human society. And this state, this conflict of these two systems, it is very unclear and hard to understand. So none of these politicians or sociologists, psychologists, financiers, nobody understands how to control it. This is the biggest problem. We always controlled it by egoism, more egoism here or there. The more egoistic usually wins. We wanted to do it differently with the socialist revolution, but there was no method of how to unite the people. And as a result, the egoists came into power and started ruling the people with just mottos of unity, but in general the same egoistic system. So nothing came out of it, but on the contrary, it became worse. The world will continue to advance in a similar way until it discovers that there is a method of a transition between the egoistic system in which all of civilization is to an altruistic system, an integral one. So in order to, for us, to come to terms with this and to tell others about it, and today people start wanting to hear about it, more and more people. And it's really just over the past, you know, year or two, huge amount of people are all prepared to think and listen because they feel themselves as lost children, like a small child who's lost and he's standing and crying and doesn't know what to do. In this way, they see themselves very clearly. And so we have to realize this method of integral interaction between one another. We have to realize how to manifest it, to try to realize it, implement it between us. We don't have economic connections or political, but just the connections between people. So at least in this we can start to do it. And beyond that, you know that we're trying to enter different structures, different institutions. These are schools and other educational institutions, factories, universities, and so on, where a need is felt because there's a crisis being manifested there between people and between children. I've seen for a while now how problematic it is. Inside of families, the number of divorces and single mothers, single parents. So we can already start to drill this into people here and there, and it'll show how our method will begin to live, and literally from the first lesson, from the first demonstration, people will begin to understand that there's something in this, some new, some special force, something wonderful that is manifested to such a degree that they'll see that here it's possible to attain truly wonderful changes. This is what we see, especially with groups of the European part of the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. We see this in part of the U.S. Apparently in Israel. So we have to expand and more to show this method in different places, and how we will learn, and to show others that with the help of this, we can save regions and countries and the whole world from a true crisis. With this, we're living with you today, and we're trying to accelerate our development in integral education. This is what we're calling it. I'm not sure this is sort of my creation. I thought about this this name, integral education, integral upbringing. I'm not sure how successful it is. If anybody has other ideas, I would like to hear it. Maybe we'll change the name, but this is what it seems to me at the moment, that this is the sort of most appropriate name. In inclusion of different regions and countries, civilizations, Western, Eastern, the Asian countries, in each of them, they have their own problems. Things that seem the most sort of negative, stubborn, are the Western Europe, and it's actually very difficult to talk to them. In America, it's a little easier. Americans value the news and different businesses, training, life coaches. They happily would follow this, and it might be easier there. In Russia, they're also sort of used to these types of things. Here it's easier. But still, egoism acts very strongly there. But perhaps, thanks to egoism being higher there, then it's manifesting more strongly, and people realize that the relations between workers, for example, lowers production so much that they really need to take care of it. There are social problems. So I think the situation is a little different. So we can help and take it apart. Sort of help, figure it out. And I think that this Siberian region of Russia, it's a little different. It's less egoistical. Nature acts differently here. And therefore, there could be the opposite. So some people might not feel it as much and not be egoistical enough to realize that their ego is to blame for everything. But on the other hand, they could be drawn more towards a connection between one another. So it could be, on the other hand, easier. So these two conditions, maybe they're not that opposing. I'm not sure. I would like to hear it from you. But in any case, it doesn't matter how it manifests. What's important to us is that this region is, it seems to me, very successful for the realization of the method of integral upbringing and education. This Here the atmosphere is different. So if we take together here, ignoring the huge distances, then I think we can succeed. There's a different connection between people, a more calm one. So it's possible to, after we go through a course of integral education and upbringing ourselves, then we can bring these demonstrative seminars and workshops of our own to different schools under different conditions, banners. So this is why we need serious work in the whole region, because I think that each region on the face of the planet, a serious one, just like the Ural region of Russia, east, west, south, Siberian, they're all very different from the eastern side and Eastern Europe and America. I'm speaking with you with all my doubts, because I don't know myself. I'm speaking very sort of transparently because we are pioneers. This is something that we have to develop in its application to modern humanity. You know that Bala Sulam, you know what Bala Sulam wrote and what Rabash wrote, but everything else we developed over the last decade, especially over the past few years, every time more and more clearly we can write Kabbalah in the relation between each other, in all relations among one another, and we never had this or described it anywhere. I just know that, just knowing the method of my teachers, I develop it further, more practically. Of course, there's nothing new. I'm not saying anything new. It might look like something new, but really it's just the application of their ideas to the present state of humanity. And so we must, together with you, develop this method specifically toward your region. I think that over the next few days, we will discuss this, to feel it. It'll approach our studies, so we're going to study Kabbalah and integral education together, and I want to stress here that it must be understood that there's no difference at all between Kabbalah and integral education and upbringing. There's no difference. This is just translated in different words, the same idea. Because if we read the articles, Bala Sulam and Rabash, there's a sensation of importance, an importance of the goal, the exit above your, the ascension above your own egoism, above yourself, in unity, in order to reveal the Creator and the upper force and the unity, the integral force of nature, and so on. So all these conditions about which we speak and read, this is the same in integral education. Only there we're not using the words creator, creature, surrounding light, changes, sfirot, partsafim. We're not talking about that. We simply, in layman's terms, describe the same conditions, the very same processes. We say that in unity there appears a gradual and integral force of unity. We're talking about crowd, wisdom of the crowds. Crowdsourcing. Where does this come from? This is the integral form of nature. This is the creator. It's not on the level of light for them, but gradually it'll manifest as that. It's the same thing. And on the contrary, even, when you start talking about it, when you start using the terms integral upbringing, then you begin to understand even more the Kabbalistic terms, the inner meaning of them, since we're used to hearing these words. But what's in them? What is that inner charge, that message? We don't feel it exactly. And so, when we begin to engage in integral education, then we begin to truly sense what that Kabbalistic method is, in which way it unites people and creates the manifestation of this network between them. In their connection, the next level of nature appears in them. Either the human level, Adam, or on the level of the Creator. And so, under no circumstances, if anybody has any doubts, I'm prepared to hear any questions about it, and we will discuss them. We are not escaping from Kabbalah. We are expressing it in different terms. In fact, these terms were used in the first steps of the revelation of this wisdom. Since we studied together with you that there are four languages of Kabbalah describing this upper state, this upper integral state, a spiritual state. Four languages. These are the languages of the Torah, the simplest form, which was written as a historical document, and then the language of laws, the language of sayings, the language of Kabbalah. The language of Kabbalah is the most precise. It's a very technical language. It uses clear technical terms, forces opposing each other, supporting each other by repulsion, attraction. This is essentially an analysis. So anybody that studied math, and this is the same thing that we study in Kabbalah, the integration of two opposing forms and the connection between them. The connection between them is called the screen. And so, the whole system is very simple. The system of bestowal from above downward, as it comes out to us, and the force of reception, which, upon being able to create a screen and work with the screen, it becomes like the force of bestowal. They connect between each other, and on the connection between them, there forms a sensation of the upper state. In other words, that force, which we are, the force of reception, desire. Nothing is created but the desire. There's the light, which is the desire, the force of bestowal, and the desire. If we can adapt those two to each other, then the desire does not become opposite to the light, but the same to it, and we discover ourselves on the face of the light, and we discover this upper force in us. This is the Creator. That's why the Creator is called Bore. Come and see. So come and see it in yourself. By changing your inner qualities to these more corrected qualities of you, are the revelation of the Creator inside you. And so, of course, the lexicon is a little different. But absolutely everything else is the same. Nothing else was invented. Nothing else is here. This is the same wisdom, science, which is meant expressed not in those four languages, but in modern terms. In terms of modern social systems. And in what way can we advance in your region? This is something that we have to sit and discuss together with you. But first, it doesn't matter what we come to, maybe we won't come to anything at all. Because initially, we need to first ourselves to study this integral education ourselves. And then perhaps it'll become more clear how to act moving forward. And this is what I wanted to tell you for the beginning. Any questions? Yes. I'll just answer. I'll repeat back the thing. You can just speak from there. Yes. The question is, you want to... Fatalism, I understand. Are you talking about the cyclical of the nature of development, of evolution? Okay, so today we already came to... Today we are here again in ancient Babylon. But ancient Babylon is around the whole world. This ancient civilization where there were 3 million people, now there are 7 billion of them. This is what we came to. This is exactly what was predicted. And we find ourselves again in the same crisis that they were in. They never exited the crisis. They had the ability to spread out. They solved it a different way, by separating from each other, but we can't. You're saying from our state, other than a serious war, which would postpone the solution, as opposed to Kabbalah, just imagine for yourselves that we entered such a war where people would only imagine how to survive. The thing is that here, there is that point of our opportunity, our freedom of will. Either we can convey to people before they cause a massive war, that there's a method beyond war as an exit from this state, or... All right, nope, there is no other thing. There is no cycle here. Nature doesn't develop cyclically. We see this in inanimate, vegetative, animal, different parts of nature. We see this in space. There's no cyclic. There's nothing cyclic about it. The things that celestial bodies are rotating around one another, they're still moving forward, just like a bicycle wheel moving, it moves around, but it still moves forward. And nature has no need to do this. If we're talking about nature understanding and knowing, it created us. And of course, that program, which manages us, is much wiser than us. Then a cycle is a flaw. It's a lack of a goal. It's just resultless. So, no, we have no such thing. The Kabbalists began to write from the time of Adam. He was the first Kabbalist, and that's why he's called Adam. 5770 years ago, he revealed Kabbalah, wrote a book about it, the secret angel, secret force, sorry. And since then, everything that Kabbalists have predicted has come to pass. In our time, to predict what will happen is impossible, because our time is just like Abraham had the ability, as he stood in the opportunity to bring everybody after him, or to create a small group that would go after him. And that's how they separated. Since then, everything Kabbalists wrote after him, all of this came to pass very accurately. And what year, how many years, when Kabbalah will become revealed, practically for hundreds of years before then, it was seriously described by Kabbalists. And so I see no predictions of this seriously changing. A person that studies Kabbalah begins to see all the laws, because it's physics. You have two forces, two vectors, which are coming into balance with the help of a third force, the screen, and beyond that there's nothing. This is the basis of the work of all systems, inanimate, let's say, in inanimate nature, different structures, living cells, organisms, the assemblies of these cells and so on. A person, it says human society, is a collection of egoists, which are all under the same law, all having been studied with very high precision. So a Kabbalist that undergoes this goes through these states. So everything that humanity is going through today has already been undergone by Kabbalists in the past that described it. And that's how they study it. So all these laws are known to us. Think about where we begin the study of Kabbalah. We begin to study it from the world of infinity. In Kabbalah, it's written from that level, that the existence of a single force, positive or negative, and after that, the creation of a second force, the force of reception, and then the evolution of these two forces, the four phases of the direct light, and so on and on, until our world. The Bible, the Torah, talks about only the world of Atzilut, the world of correction. It doesn't talk about everything before that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, means that when Bina of the world of Atzilut gives birth to the system Zon, Zerampin and Malchut. This is what it starts from. This is the highest level in the Torah. But in Kabbalah, we study something much higher. So when you see them, these laws, what are these things? These are all the... We can see clearly through this how everything moves forward. We can see how these two forces, depending on where they are between one another, they give birth to the inanimate, vegetative, and animal and human levels of nature. And according to that, we see we can track the smallest movement. So by guessing, there can't be any meaning of guessing. But freedom of will, which existed in humanity in ancient Babylon, and exists now. But this is relative freedom of will. So if you don't want to use your freedom of will to go along the good path, the good conscious path, then you'll need some suffering for you to realize it. Perhaps you didn't suffer enough. So humanity, let's say, will invoke a war, worldwide nuclear war. And then after that, you know, suffering will teach. No matter what we say, even though we're always rolling back, but we're rolling back being egoists still. But now there's nowhere to return to. And so war will be a very serious thing. But of course, we'd want to avoid it. Yes. We had a long preparation for a congress. We have about a day and a night left. How do we continue the right connection between us? We have tomorrow left for preparation for the congress. I think that we have to create such a field of interaction between us, field of warmth, that anybody that would come into it would immediately enter it, to feel that here, suddenly, this is that atmosphere in which I want to be. It all depends on us. Before every lesson, make another Yeshivat HaVarim. We'll study any questions, clarify any questions that you want. I'm ready and willing to do that. And that's about it. So, when more people come, the quantity also influences the quality. So it'll settle in. You'll see. You'll have an amazing congress. I'm sure of it. I feel already. And this is people that worked here for a long time before we even got here. They invested so much that, and of course these groups that we see around the whole world. We will say new things. The atmosphere that's here, it will influence us. We have to prepare for it, think about it, so that we would really be prepared to receive them in one heart. Yes, please. I wanted to ask you, together with you, we're one from it's hard to hear the question.
Нет, это никто не говорит.
No, that's incorrect. Nobody has said something about a loving murderer. The question was something about how can you love somebody that, for example, you know, kills your child on the road or something like that. You're giving a very, Rav says, a very extreme example. I'll explain to you how. It requires for the mother to ascend to such a level, for her to see everything that happened, that nothing in this world is done by humans, but everything is done by a system of interaction of all people, and that upper force, which in general is one single unified and guiding us to a goal. If she would see everything, what is her child, that is her child on the animal level and on the next level of the human, this is a part of the system, something that it's something that if you see the whole picture, you don't see any flaws in it. You just see that there's one single force that controls everything. But then they're not on the same level of, it's me and my mother that, God forbid, my child was killed. It's me perceiving it completely differently. I'm no longer a mother, and this is no longer a child. We are one interconnected thing. I also understand that life and death are perceived totally different. It's a constant change of state. Well, that's the difference between being felt in my body or feeling ourselves outside of our body. It's a different level of perception. Where we study together with you, perception of reality. So the question that you asked, it has no solution. If you told a woman that, God forbid, something happened to her child, but if we're talking about how it'll be perceived, then differently it'll be. I saw this on my teacher as well, how he perceived such things. In the beginning, when I was with him, first few years, I was amazed. And really, after a few months, one or two, after I came to study with him, the mother of a couple of students died. They were brothers. And he said, you know, we have to go. They're sitting there. There's a tradition of sitting 1 week at home, sitting Shiva, and as if they were for mourning. And you go there, and they're talking to each other like there's nothing going on. I was just shaken. I came back to him, and carefully I sort of, you know, I didn't want to tattle on them, but I was just so amazed. He said, yeah. I began to see that people look upon life and death completely differently. It's not a tragedy. It's not departing. When you begin to feel the whole network of forces, you see that nobody disappears. Nobody goes anywhere. But what disappears is from your sensation, your perception of reality, and that's it. Now, it's difficult to explain, but try to think about it in this direction. We have very few words in our language for this. We need to move toward revelation, and then a person will realize this. Go ahead, women can also ask. Really, from where?
No.
Wow, you came so far. You had to come from Lugansk for you to come from Krasnoyarsk. So somebody came from very far. This guy wanted to leave you at home or something. I didn't understand. You have a virtual group, which is very united, you said? So maybe they'll come up to Peter, St. Petersburg. And they live in Krasnoyarsk? No, if in different parts. In Japan, even. I understand. Well, what can I tell you? We study that from the point of view of Kabbalah that nothing exists except a desire to receive and that light which acts on it. That's light. Acting on that desire evokes in it four phases of development. Afterwards, these four phases of development, four-parted development, manifest as four phases of the worlds. But in order to be independent from that light, this is where we have to exit its reign. And so when the desire shatters on the last level, then it falls into such a state in which it doesn't feel any connection at all to the light. This state is called our world. So our world is a desire which is created and has degraded to such a point in which it senses itself specifically in this way, only itself, disconnected from what's managing it, from what's governing it and influencing it. And this state is called our world, this world. In reality, there's no difference between our world and the spiritual world. But if you are on the levels of the spiritual world, 125 of them, on each step, from the smallest to the greatest, then there manifests the connection between these two forces clearly in the desire. The desire realizes who is acting on it, and it exists in a dialogue with the Creator. So this force of reception of the light, the force of the light and the desire, they are in the desire, they are clear. But on our level, in this world, there's a disconnection. There is no clarity of these desires. We just have the inanimate, vegetative, and animal levels, but you don't have a human level. The human level already relates to the upper. It pertains to the higher level of 125 steps. And so our world is very important, because specifically when I begin to engage in the attainment of the upper world, I must attain it absolutely outside of its control. I have to be independent. But independent means to be disconnected, torn away, to be outside of the knowledge of it or the vision of it. If I exist in this way, then I can perform independent actions, not under the influence of the upper light, but because I chose thus. That's why our world is so important, the most important. And any Kabbalist, doesn't matter where they are, no matter what levels they are, of the upper, of the attainment of the upper world, if he needs to advance, then he needs to do this living in a body, in the sensation of this lowest level of egoism. And from it, he always ascends. I ascend to the 20th spiritual step. To go to the 21st, I need to lose the 20th step completely and to become like everybody in this world, just like, you know, the owner of this place, to feel only this world, and to ascend back to the 21st step. And to ascend to the 22nd, we do the same thing, to fall back down to this world and then start climbing back up. So we can't reach any spiritual degrees or transition between them without going through the sensation of our world. People think that I will tear away and I won't care about anything. I'm going to be flying around there and go forward. And what do I need? The society is here. And in this, they are completely mistaken. We will need a society. We won't be able to escape from this. See how much attention Kabbalists have put on building the group, and how about meeting? We're talking about the only way to advance to the upper world is if the group broadcasts to you, notifies you about the importance of the goal, the importance of connection, the importance of annulling yourself before others. When you are constantly in this group, then you, by that, actively act, perform. You can control yourself, not theoretically through the internet, where you can always hide away, or, but when your sensations are virtual. But in reality, can you look at somebody in the eyes or no? Can you hug them, or are they pushing you away? This is not something you can do virtually. But without this, we can't escape. And if you're talking about the method of Kabbalah, you must sense each other. Now, what do we do in such a region where villages are separated by 500 or 1,000 kilometers, and not, you know, that's neglecting large cities. So, in some way, we have to be in contact. I came here, I flew here, specifically for that. I didn't fly to, you know, Scandinavia or some other far-off place where I could have also had a congress and the same amount of people or more people would be present. I flew here because it's very important to unite this region, to gather, and for you to be able to do it at least once a year, maybe twice a year, to gather, to convene. Not everybody, maybe here 30 or 50, there 30 or people, I understand these distances and the lack of ability or opportunity, but somehow, people that have this chance and are missing it, then it's just, it's a shame. They're missing out. We'll convince you. You will convince yourselves. We'll talk to you on the last day of the Congress. Hopefully you won't run away. And you can tell to us what, you can tell us what this physical contact gave to you. What do we have now? Oh, we have dinner now. Okay, well, this is a respectable reason. Seriously? I heard 3 hours. I heard 3 hours. I'm only an hour speaking with you now. Okay, so now, what is your favorite song? No. Yeah, really? Okay, or something else. Do you have something? Среди бескрайних сугробов и хрустальных озер.
разожжем мы особый в нашем сердце костер. На бургане помеха, мы огонь сохраним, если станем навеки вместе все как один.
Тишина таежная.
Раскроется жизнь, ночь наполнится светом нашей общей любви, и зима станет летом, лишь друзей позови.
Тишина.